In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter tells us that the Scriptures did not come from the will of man. But he says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 teaches then that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But how do we know that the Bible really is the Word of God? How do we know that the Bible is really different from any other book? How do we know that the Bible was not written by men, but it had to be written by God? We're looking at some of the proofs. We're looking at some of the evidences. And I realize that there are some who would look at this set of lessons and say, "Well, why do we need to do this? Don't we just feel it in our hearts? Don't we just say, well, I know that the Bible is the Word of God because I feel it in my heart." Well, folks, you can say, and anyone can say, that we feel something in our heart, but that doesn't prove anything other than the fact that we have a feeling. You see, there are Mormons who say that they know that their Book of Mormon is inspired because they feel it in their hearts. There are Muslims who say that they know the Quran is inspired of God because they feel it in their hearts. And we would say to them, and rightly so, that those feelings don't really prove anything. Well, when we look at the Bible, we have more than just our personal testimony. We have facts. We have evidence. We have proof. And in these set of lessons, we're looking at just some of the proof that the Bible really is the Word of God. Now, in the last lesson, we began to look at what is called scientific foreknowledge. And this simply means that the Bible writers were in possession of knowledge about science and medicine that was so far in advance of the discoveries that were made generations and even hundreds and thousands of years later by scientists, that the only way that these Bible writers could have known what they knew is that God inspired them to write what they did. We saw, for instance, in the previous broadcast, that the writers of the Bible knew that there are fountains or springs on the bottom of the ocean floor. Without submarines, without the technology that we have, they knew that. They knew that the earth was round. They knew that if someone had the disease of leprosy, that he needed to be separated from the rest of those Israelite people. They knew that a child needed to be circumcised on the eighth day. How did they know these things? How did they realize these particular truths that have taken us hundreds and even thousands of years to discover? They knew these things because they were inspired of God. Now, what I want to do in this lesson is to continue to look at some examples of this kind of foreknowledge, as we call it, scientific and medical advanced foreknowledge that can only be explained on the doctrine of, on the basis of, the inspiration of the Bible. We're going to turn first to Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19, and here we're going to read about the particular laws in the Mosaic Code about touching a dead body. And we're going to look at the washings that Moses prescribed. In Numbers chapter 19, verse 11, you'll find that the Bible says, "He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days." In Numbers 19, verse 18, the Bible says, "And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels, and upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or grave." In verse 19, "And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at even." So the Bible here is giving this regulation for people who have touched a dead body. Now you say, why is that important, and how does that have anything to do with proving that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Well, remember that Moses knew nothing about the spread of bacteria. So why would he give these regulations? Why would he tell these people to do these things? Now, it's reasonable to think that many of these Israelites just looked at these regulations and perhaps sometimes wondered why God gave all of these rules. Why God had them to do all these washings that are talked about in the law of Moses. because they didn't have the knowledge of germ spreading like you and I do. They had to trust then more in the commandments of God that were actually doing them good and were benefiting them, even though the Israelites did not understand that they were being benefited by following the laws of God. You know, this is, I believe, a very practical lesson here, just as an aside to what we're talking about. And that is, if we follow what God says, oftentimes there are benefits to our lives here on earth as well as in eternity that we don't even realize because we haven't thought these things through, because we just don't realize how many other things are consequences of those laws. And so what we find is that the Israelite people did have to trust in God if they were going to do these things. And there were benefits if they went ahead and obeyed them. Now, I've referred to a book that is entitled None of These Diseases, and I'm looking at the original edition of that book, None of These Diseases. It was written by a medical doctor by the name of S.I. McMillan. It's a very interesting book, and what he does in this book is to show that so many of the teachings of the Bible in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but especially in the Old Testament, were designed to give people a better life here on the earth, a better physical life, as well as a better and a right moral and spiritual life. Now, as he talks about the different laws of Moses then, he compares these laws to the educational system of the Egyptian people and shows that Moses could not have learned these things from the Egyptians because the Egyptians had some rather ridiculous ideas about medicines and about cures at that time. So what we find then is that Moses wrote these things well in advance of the things that you and I oftentimes take for granted as far as medical knowledge is concerned. Now in this book called None of These Diseases, S.I. McMillan writes about a story that took place in the 1840s in Vienna. The man's name that he's talking about here was Ignaz Semmelweis. And let me read some of the words from this book. It's very, very interesting. And I'm going to begin reading on page 15. In the maternity wards of this celebrated hospital, and he's talking about this hospital in Vienna, one out of every six women died, and this frightening mortality rate was similar in other hospitals around the world. The obstetricians ascribed the deaths to constipation, delayed lactation, fear, and poisonous air. When the women died, they were wheeled into the autopsy room. The first order of each morning was the entrance of the physicians and medical students into the morgue to perform autopsies on the unfortunate victims who had died during the preceding 24 hours. Afterward, without cleaning their hands, the doctors with their retinue of students marched into the maternity wards to make pelvic examinations on the living women. Of course, no rubber gloves were worn. In the early 1840s, he says, a young doctor named Ignaz Semmelweis was given charge over one of these wards. He observed that it was particularly the women who were examined by the teachers and students who became sick and died. After watching this heartbreaking situation for 3 years, he established a rule that in his ward, every physician and medical student who had participated in the autopsies of the dead must carefully wash his hands before examining the living maternity patients. In April 1847, before the new rule went into effect, 57 women had died in Dr. Semmelweis's ward. Then the rule of washing the hands was instituted. In June, only one out of every 42 women died. In July, only one out of every 84. The statistics strongly indicated that fatal infections had been carried from corpses to living patients. One day, after performing autopsies and washing their hands, the physicians and students entered the maternity ward and examined a row of beds containing 12 women. 11 of the 12 women quickly developed temperatures and died. Another new thought was born in Semmelweis's alert brain. Some mysterious element was evidently carried from one living patient to others and with fatal consequences. Logically, Semmelweis ordered that everybody should wash his hands carefully after examining each living patient. Immediately, howls of protest were raised against the nuisance of washing, 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 but the mortality rate went further down. Now, Dr. McMillan goes on to say, many, many centuries before Semmelweis, God gave to Moses detailed instructions on the safest method of cleansing the hands after handling the dead or the infected living. Semmelweis' method of cleansing went a long way in preventing many deaths, but it would not be accepted in any hospital today. In contrast, the scriptural method specified not merely washing in a basin, but repeated washings in running water, with time intervals allowed for drying and exposure to sun to kill bacteria not washed off. Furthermore, the scriptural method also required contacts to change to clothes that had been washed and dried. Now, this medical doctor says there is no way that Moses could have figured these things out himself. This is one of those many proofs that the Bible contains knowledge that was so far in advance of the medical knowledge of the day that the writers had to have been inspired of Almighty God. Let's look at one more example. Let's turn over to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Here we have what the Bible talks about concerning sanitation in the camp of the Israelite people. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 12 and 13, you have a very specific passage here that talks about what was to be done in those situations. The Bible says that they were to go outside the camp, they were to go abroad, they were to dig in the ground, and they were to cover up that human waste. Now, you see, there were many people for hundreds of years, and even thousands of years, that were without that knowledge, that were without that regulation, and because they ignored it, there were all kinds of diseases that spread. McMillan talks about that in this book called None of These Diseases. And the reason he entitled the book None of These Diseases is because the Israelites were spared a lot of suffering, a lot of sickness, and a lot of disease that the other nations had, simply because they had this law of God. And this law of God was designed to protect these Israelite people. There's only one way to explain this kind of scientific and medical foreknowledge, and that is that these writers were inspired of God. This proves that the Bible indeed is the inspired Word of God, just as the Scriptures say, and just as we believe to this very day.